Return to Camp Blood, episode 54.
And today is his birthday.
This episode is brought to you by Friday the 13th Franchise.com.
This place is cursed. Jason's alive. He killed my friend, now he's coming for me.
It's got a death curse.
Jason's a legend.
I'm Mrs. Warren, an old friend of the Christies.
Jason belongs in hell.
You're doing it. We can stay here.
Never come back again.
Today is his birthday.
Welcome to another episode of Return to Camp Blood. I'm your host, Chris, joined by my fellow counselors, Eric.
What's up, y'all?
Nathan.
What's up, guys?
And Bobby.
Well, howdy.
So, like, I realize that today isn't Friday, but it is the 13th. And we wanted to do something to celebrate the fact that today, Jason Voorhees turns the big 7-0. I'm sure most of you will remember that he was born June 13th, 1946. And it's that sort of origin that we want to talk about tonight. We don't normally talk news on this show, but since it's been more or less confirmed that Paramount has given the green light to Aaron Guzikowski's script, we thought we'd talk about what we have to go on so far. You know, because it's the main man's birthday and shit. So I'm going to be pulling from three separate posts from Friday13thFranchise.com, which I'll link in the show notes at campbloodpodcast.com/54. So first on deck, new Friday the 13th film details emerge, origin tale, and Pamela Voorhees' return. All right, so during a recent interview, Brad Fuller, who is a producer over at Platinum Dunes, basically said, you know, Aaron's story has great characters. You kind of have to understand Jason Voorhees. So we go back and we kind of started over and work our way forward. Then he was asked if it would be an origin story, origin-ish, but it's an origin that no one has seen before. Obviously, Pamela's there, but it's a little bit different from what you've seen before. Now, I know, like, some fans got scared at that last fucking line because we all know how much people hate when any little fucking change is made to anything they fucking like. Like, personally, I don't have a problem with things changing. And I think I've said this over the course of the show here and there. You know, I feel like they're still going to have the basic spirit of what we like about Friday the 13th. Now, I know in the past they have tried to go different routes, especially in the New Line era, and maybe it didn't work out so well for them. but I don't have an issue with this at all, personally.
And I don't either. I actually think that I think the concept of it could work as long as Adrian King plays Mama Voorhees. But in all seriousness, I mean, I don't want them to take an excerpt from Jason Goes to Hell and make it fit that way just for posterity. But if they make it genuine, and if they make it from a fan standpoint to please us, I'm down for it as long as it's quality. Now, the time constraint of January 2017 seems a little rushed to me. I don't know if it does to you guys or not.
No, how long do you think it takes to shoot a fucking slasher movie? I mean, if the writing is solid, like, which, given who wrote it, I tend to go that way. I don't think the time frame that they're looking at is any kind of a problem. You know, these kind of movies don't take that long to make.
No, not at all.
I mean, you're looking at probably a couple months of shooting at the most. The most time is going to be spent in post, most likely. So I have no issue with the time frame we're looking at, as long as they can get somewhere in a reasonable amount of time moving forward from here. That being said, also, yes, we love it when these movies come out on Friday the 13th, but there's nothing, only about half of the fucking films in the franchise have ever came out on Friday the 13th. So if this one didn't, it's not that big of a deal.
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, it, you know, you kind of, it's a different animal than, say, Halloween. And they always release the August before Halloween. So it has time to build up. But since Friday the 13th are so sporadic, I mean, it's not like that I'm going to be upset if it's not on a Friday the 13th.
Yeah, that's fair. But, you know, people are going to bitch about that, too. Even though, like I said, like half the movies, only half the movie, about half the movies have ever been released on Friday the 13th anyway.
I'm just looking forward to another film. I don't care what day it's released. It can be the 13th or whenever. I'm just happy that we, you know, definitely have had one, you know, a green light for one. You know, before there was a little bit of talk about, you know, would we get one, would we not, you know, things of that nature. I'm just glad that we have one and another installment to look forward to.
Yeah, and that's my take on it. I'm just ready for a new fucking movie. More shit for us to talk about here on the show.
Absolutely.
Amen to that.
I mean, I'm in complete agreement with y'all. I don't know what else really to say. Y'all pretty, it's like, who cares? I mean, the only movie that I ever thought was interesting that came out on a certain date was when they redid The Omen. Came out June 6, 2006. I thought it was I thought that was clever. But honestly, after that, I've never cared about what date a movie came out on.
Well, I mean, and we're going to be talking this thread pretty much the whole episode, but what do you guys think about this sort of origin that we've never seen before, apparently?
I think it could get a little confusing, especially for somebody that has never seen for anyone that's never seen a Friday the 13th movie. But I doubt they're going to make it that convoluted and hard to understand because, as you said, it's a slasher film.
Well, I mean, the reboot, the 2009 reboot already sort of did that. I mean, especially in the opening scene where, you know, a boy, Jason, comes to pick up his mother's effects in her head. if we're going by, you know, what happened in the original films, that's already different.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, didn't they do an Origins for Texas Chainsaw Massacre as well?
Yes, and it was, I thought it was fucking disgusting and terrible.
Yeah, me too.
All right, so let's move on to this next post. It's titled, Jason Voorhees Father to Appear in New Friday the 13th Film. So basically, and this was back on June 1st, it was basically confirmed that Elias was going to be in the film. Although at this point, I don't know that we had confirmation that it was, his name was going to be Elias. I don't know why they would have picked any other name, but
this is Jeff. Jeff Voorhees.
So there's not much on this post. So I'm gonna keep moving forward. The next one is confirmed. New Friday the 13th film will have you meet the Voorhees family, and that was back on the 4th. Now, yeah, this one, they doubly confirmed that Elias was going to be in the film, which, you know, going back to Jason Goes to Hell, we got sort of conversation about him. But even further back than that, Elias was supposed to make an appearance in Jason Lives, which I think Alice Cooper was supposed to play him.
I think.
Am I right?
Yeah, I do believe you are correct.
Which would have been fucking weird as shit because, you know, I don't remember which Nightmare movie it was, but Alice Cooper played Freddy's fucking stepdad.
Yes.
So that would have been interesting.
Kids out.
Freddy's dead. Mama. The final nightmare. Yeah.
So basically, I just wanted us to do a little speculation here. I know Nathan's not terribly huge on speculating, but we're going to do that anyway, or at least if not speculation, since there's not a whole lot we have to go on, like maybe how we would like to see this unfold in a film, you know, going all the way back to the beginning and sort of finding out all the secrets of the Voorhees family to steal a line from Jason Parker's post.
And I totally think that'd be cool. I mean, I do want to see Jason in a hockey mask, though. That's my one concern.
Yeah, I think that's something they have to do, which is why I was glad they transitioned to that in the reboot.
And I was too, absolutely.
Well, I think one thing to consider is being the 13th film in the franchise, they're not going to leave the hockey mask out.
Yeah, that's an interesting point too, that it's the 13th film in the franchise.
Friday the 13th series, yeah. Which they should, I think they should make that actually, they should build the movie around that. Like, hey, this can actually be an important film, and as they said, a revival for it.
So maybe they will shoot for that Friday the 13th release. I mean,
the 13th installment of Friday the 13th, which is released on Friday the 13th.
Well, and another thing to consider too is there was, you know, some information that was provided before about the movie, you know, being set in the 80s and being brought back, you know, so who knows, it could be a combination, you know, of things. It could be a transitional type of movie where, you know, they backtrack and then they bring it back to the 80s and finish, you know, and leave it in the 80s. So, I mean, at this point with limited information, who knows?
And anything can happen at Camp Blood.
I have a strong feeling that it's going to be a to be continued movie.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah. I have no issue with them. You know, but honestly, though, given how all the intellectual property rights are going, I don't know how that would work. I mean, would Paramount like renew their sort of lease on the property? I mean, I don't know how that would even work, but I mean, honestly, look at the other franchises, even outside of the horror genre, you know, with like all the fucking Marvel origin movies and like you were saying earlier, Texas Chainsaw Massacre origin fucking story, like those type of movies have spawned other movies also. So we can only hope that this sort of sets it up for a similar thing. That would be totally fucking fine by me if we had a couple more new movies to talk about coming up.
Absolutely. I would love it. I mean, the more we can talk about Friday, the happier I am.
Yeah. I just really hope that they leave all this supernatural bullshit out, at least right now. I fucking hate that.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Even in the interview, it said it's going to be origin-ish. So maybe do you think that it could possibly be a reimagining of what maybe this is kind of how it should have been?
Well, I think that, well, he even says that it's going to be a little bit different from what you've seen before. So I got to imagine that it's going to be some kind of reimagining of, you know,
Jason Voorhees.
Which, again, for me, that's fine. Like, please breathe new life in a character that I love.
Yeah. Let's see him from a new perspective.
Well, if you think with that comment with him saying, you know, origin-ish, that just kind of leads back to what I said about, you know, possibly seeing kind of a transitional type movie, you know? I mean, with him making those comments, it leaves it wide open, but that's definitely something to consider.
Yeah, but how transitional can you get? I mean, we got pretty transitional in the 2009 reboot.
Well, they did that transition in a matter of seconds. If you think about the opening scene, you know, you see young Jason, then all of a sudden, boom, we snap into adult Jason. So they can do that pretty quick. So who knows?
I mean, I get that, but I don't know. It's just going to be really interesting to see where they take it. Yeah, I really wish we had like more to go on right now, but it's just cool to me that it legitimately finally seems like a new movie is definitely getting made.
Well, we all know Jason never dies, so I don't think this is going to be the last one.
I hope not.
I hope not either.
I'm still waiting for the fucking TV show. Where's that shit at?
That's a whole nother episode.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Which we will not do unless we have more information on that, which there is none, as far as I know.
Not as of yet.
So let's just before we wrap this up, because obviously this is going to be a short episode, at least as far as the meat of it's concerned, because we don't have a lot to go on. But let's sort of talk for a second about what maybe some things that, given the framework of what we have to go on for right this second, what are some things that you would like to see in the film in the context of what Brad Fuller has said?
I mean, I really just, I love the idea of an origin, bring back Jason's family. Let's see what led to Mama's psychosis, you know, and take off running from there. But I do want to see Jason. I want to see the visage of Jason wearing a hockey mask and not, you know, a little hydrocephalic mongoloid pinhead running around and, you know, watching Mama fall apart at the seams.
Oh, that would actually be kind of cool to just see Pamela just like starting to snap slowly, like, you little son of a bitch. Just going crazy slowly throughout the movie. Oh, you know, not slowly, but, you know, just to kind of see the transition before she like finally just snapped.
And she would be saying the little son of a bitch to the camp counselors, not to her beloved little boy.
Oh. Well, you know, if Jeremy from Geekish Cast is to be believed, she abused the shit out of him. So who knows?
Again, she didn't start loving him until after he died.
Well, I'm sure we're probably going to see in some depth, at least, you know, plenty of counselor scenes, you know, relating to the incident, if you will. So I would expect to see definitely several minutes related to that.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I wonder if they'll take a similar track that Pamela's Tale did, the comic book.
I was wondering the exact same thing, Chris.
Yeah, because given a little bit we have to go on, it wouldn't seem like such a bad idea to go that route. Obviously, I'd rather not see scenes from part one interspersed throughout the story in the new one, like Pamela's Tale did. But yeah, definitely it would be cool to see how it all fucking started. Like, we only get that information from Pamela, and we already know that she's sort of an unreliable narrator, if you will, or at least given what you think about whether Jason lived or died in the, you know, in the previous of the first film, she could conceivably be an unreliable narrator when she's telling, you know, Alice everything. So yeah, in that regard, I think it would be pretty cool if they went the Pamela's Tale route.
Who do you think they're going to get to play Elias?
I mean, we've never seen him before, so really,
who would you see being Jason's dad?
Tyler Mane, potentially, but he can't act.
Kane Hodder.
actually, that would not be terrible.
That would not.
You get fucking Kane Hodder playing Elias, and Miss King playing Pammy. I think that would be awesome. Well, if we're talking about a young Jason here, who's playing Jason?
Well, that's a good question, because depending on what they're going to show us to begin with, I mean, you got to have the right person, obviously the right age of person, so that could leave, you know, the options unlimited as far as an actor that could portray that.
Well, I mean, depending on how far they go back, but let's just say, you know, they're going to take us back to, you know, maybe the day or the week prior to Jason drowning. So he's what, 11 at that point, I think?
Yeah, 11.
You can find any kid to be an 11-year-old. He's got to be an 11-year-old.
Yeah, you can find any kid to be an 11-year-old. Like a
fair enough.
5-year-old. He can be 11.
All right. So, well, going on that same thread, if they transition to an adult Jason, who plays him?
Well, that's another good question that obviously everybody wants to know. And to my knowledge, the last I knew, Derek Mears was still signed on for one more movie with them. So is it out of the question for him to be Jason again? Well, certainly not, at least what I'm aware of. You know, is that the route that they'll take it? Who knows? But he is apparently signed on for another film.
I mean, at the same time, though, that means nothing. I mean, just because just because he's under contract for two doesn't mean they'll use him for two.
No, no. But I think that was kind of something most people thought, you know, when they knew that he was signed on, you know, contract for another film, that, well, he was in 09 and we're probably going to see him again, you know, just speculation of we're probably going to see him again in the next one just because he is signed on. But you're right. No, that doesn't necessarily mean that he will get it.
Well, I mean, especially considering the fact that this would be like a reboot. Now, if they were doing a sequel to the 2009 reboot, I think you got to have Mears playing him, obviously. That's a no-brainer. But given that they're rebooting it, I don't know. I mean, I think it's still, as far as I'm concerned, up in the air. And honestly, I lean more towards no on Derek Mears just because of that.
And probably not. I know. I've seen some articles where Kane Hodder has obviously expressed his interest in coming back. So, you know, there's another possibility.
I mean, don't get me wrong. As much as we love Kane Hodder, this is not the film he needs to come back in. If he was going to reprise the role, it should have been in Freddy vs. Jason, not in this one. I mean, that's, in my opinion, he's too fucking big to play a realistic human Jason. Derek Mears, on the other hand, yeah, I mean, Derek Mears is fucking stocky as shit, but, you know, in that movie, he played a realistic, you know, you have an idea of a person who's out living off the land and shit. That's Derek Mears. Derek Mears has that fucking body type. Kane Hodder does not. I mean, granted, I'm not going to be pissed if Kane plays him. Trust me. Trust me when I say I would not mind Kane coming back to the mask, but I just don't see them getting him for this particular movie.
I mean, I say if we're going to bring back anybody from the prior films, let's just fucking bring back Ted White and get it over with.
Huh. Absolutely.
Yeah, he'd technically be, what, like 20 years older than Jason.
Think about this, though. Think about this. You know, if they really wanted to keep the age consideration, depending, you know, how far they are going to take it back. I mean, he is obviously old enough to be Jason's dad.
I disagree with that. Because if we are going back, if this film was taking place in the 80s, Ted White is much too old. Now, if you want to have Ted White over there in the fucking corner playing, you know, Grandpa Voorhees, hey, I got you. That would be perfect. You know, sort of like, you know, the family situation we saw in Texas Chainsaw. That's fine. Plus, you know, it would just be a hey, John Carpenter, remember all that shit you talked about Friday the 13th and Texas Chainsaw? Well, we're going to fucking do this too.
Well, he could easily be a grandpa of some sorts, but essentially, depending on what age, I guess, you want to calculate Jason as being, you know, in the latter part of the film or whatever, could Ted essentially be the age of a father? Well, yeah, I mean, that's not out of the question, but I certainly understand what you mean.
It depends. If they're talking about, you know, showing us Jason in 2016, having been born in 46, sure, Ted White could definitely play Elias, a modern 2016 Elias, if the timeline still stays the same.
I mean, all things considered, if they were to bring back another Jason, I mean, with the age of the guys nowadays and all that good stuff, I mean, I say, honestly, you know, bring back CJ.
CJ, really?
Of course.
That's interesting.
Of course. He's still in good shape, you know? I think he could definitely rock it.
And that might be true, too, because, I mean, he doesn't come off as a fucking, you know, bodybuilder type dude. I think he's a little... I mean, as far as like bulk is concerned, I think he's a little bit bigger than Derek, but I guess I could see that.
Yeah, he's a little bit, they're similar in height. He's a little bit shorter, I believe, but a little bit bulkier. So it'd be a good in-between mix of what you described, you know, your opinion of Kane, and then compared to Derek, it would definitely be a good, you know, middle ground there.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But I don't think we're going to see any prior Jason alumni there. It's, I think we're going to see somebody new, and it's probably going to be somebody that we never would have expected.
Well, yeah, for the guy behind the mask, I agree with that. I do think it would be cool to see, Adrian and Kane playing the parents. That would be pretty awesome. Like, well,
I'd love it.
That'd be a definite fucking fanboy moment for me anyway.
Squee!
Oh, that'd be great. It'd be great to see some cameos of any sort.
So does that mean adolescent irresponsible Jason goes to Ari Lehman?
I think Ari's a little bit too old to play adolescent Jason. Just saying.
Yeah. I think that's a lot of the question for that. But, you know, with prosthetics and makeup.
Hey, you know what? You know what? They could bring Ari on for like a Crazy Ralph type deal.
What's that you say?
You're going to Camp Blood, ain't you? You'll never come back again. It's got a death curse.
Always got to put it in there. I think if they bring Ari into the film, that's how they should do it. That's how they should put him in there.
That's fucking genius.
All right. We actually got a bit of listener mail, so let's sort of talk about that for a few minutes here. James Hudson wrote, "Hello, Return to Camp Blood counselors. This is James, and I'm a really big fan of your podcast. Love all the theorizing going on in this episode." And I think he was talking about our Jason Lives episode, which is episode 50. Some really interesting ideas have been put forth on this one. Love the idea about the true psychology of Jason and the reasons behind his building of the shrine to his mother. I'm a big fan of the supernatural elements being the real discrepancies in age and events. I'm aware that you guys don't like that angle. Still a big fan of anybody who has so much love for my favorite horror franchise. I got my start with part 6 and then moved out in all directions to view all entries of the series. So that may explain my embracing of the zombie Jason. Big time horror hound now, with a love for multiple styles of horror. Any of you guys read the novelizations? I'm a fan of the novelization of part 3. Hope to listen to more of your great podcasts. Yes, Nathan is a huge fan of the zombie Jason also. And I think he's the only one of them. No, Lando loves zombie Jason also. So James, you are not alone, in that. As far as the novelizations, they're really hard to find, and when you can find them, they're fucking expensive. So, no, I have not read any of them, although I really want to. And maybe not necessarily novelizations of the films, but there's some other novels hanging out there that I would really like to read, like Church of the Divine Psychopath. Seems really interesting, but at $50 for the fucking paperback book, I will probably not be reading that anytime soon. Unless one of you great listeners wants to mail it to me for free. Have you guys read any of the novelizations, gentlemen?
No, sir, I have not.
But I would absolutely love to.
It's on the to-do list.
Yeah. Alrighty. David Rainey says, and this is going back to our Jason X episode. So what exactly prevents Jason X from falling chronologically after Freddy versus Jason? At that point, Jason is out of hell and back in Crystal Lake. This leaves plenty of time for the events of Jason X to happen. Agreed. I think, like, I don't know why none of us thought of that while we were recording, but I think, like, as soon as we were done, that's something that we brought up anyway. I think in the post for that episode, I even wrote a little note in there that explains that, because we literally started talking about that after we hit stop. So, yes, David, agreed. Jason X would fit pretty nicely after Freddy versus Jason, especially considering the storyline from the original, you know, line doesn't continue. Obviously, it was rebooted in 2009. So that, yeah, I agree. Jason X could fall right after Freddy versus Jason, no problem.
I think the reason for that being is that we just kind of said, hey, this is a standalone type of film, and just left it at that.
Well, I think that at least my thought was, you know, I was thinking about how, like, the order in which they came out. And for whatever reason, at the point where I was talking about it, it never occurred to me. It didn't occur to me at that time that it could have came after Freddy versus Jason, which obviously was the movie after Jason X, you know, if we're talking about release dates. So, yep, that was, yeah, I don't even know why I didn't think of that while we were recording. Heath Berkheimer says, "Hey, Chris, love the show. Just started listening a week or so ago. I'm binge listening to the earlier episodes. We've tweeted each other on a few times, but I felt compelled to write after listening to the episode about the final chapter. You talked about a guy who called out your parenting for letting your daughter watch these movies and for cursing. Fuck you, Jim Elliot, by the way."
Yes, fuck you, Jim Elliot. You masturbating son of a bitch.
He didn't say that, but we said that. Fuck Jim Elliot. Hashtag.
2016.
I am 100% in support of you. I have two daughters, and we love watching horror movies together. My wife and I take our family to horror conventions every year. It's like our Christmas, something that my family loves to do, and we bond over this stuff. We watch the behind the scenes about how they do the deaths and special makeup and props, so they know it's fake and make-believe. I agree with you that if you talk to them about it and they have a dialogue with them, it shouldn't be an issue. My oldest is fond of the Leatherface character and is also a cheerleader for her middle school, a completely normal girl. As far as the cursing goes, cursing is part of life. It's in school, TVs, TV, movies, songs, etc. Kids will hear it. And there's nothing wrong with cursing when you're shooting the shit about movies, music, sports, video games with your buddies. So you and the rest of the Camp Blood crew, keep doing what you're doing. Can't wait to listen to future episodes.
Thank you, sir.
I still get shit about that. Well, mainly from my soon-to-be ex-wife. I'm not allowed to show them movies to my kids anymore, but, you know, whatever. I'll respect that.
And cursing is also a part of this podcast. So once again,
yes,
I say...
Yes, the fuck it is.
It Jim Elliot.
It does clearly say explicit.
Yes.
It converted me.
Oh, yeah. When we first started the show, it was you rarely hear Eric curse at all. Now he's F-bombing all over the place.
It's all your fucking faults.
So here's the thing. We'd also like to thank B Twisted for becoming our newest patron. For those of you who don't know, we have a Patreon account that allows you, the listener, to contribute to the show and get rewarded for it. So, like, I know it's been a while since I've made the spiel, but you can get included automatically in any giveaways we might have or listen to our unedited episodes. Or, you know, you can even have somewhat of a say in the direction of the show, like our friend Scar Maddox, who contributes, like, the max amount every month. Well, the max that we reward for anyway. You can also get, you know, some of our merchandise that we sometimes do, which... We haven't had anything new in a while, but
it's coming up. I can guarantee.
Yes,
this.
Yes, it is coming. It is coming.
And to tease a little bit, I'll let you know that it's a little bit of something.
A little bit of something big.
Yes, sir.
You're not gonna send out dick pics to our fans, are you?
Son of a bitch, you got me.
All right, please rate, review, and subscribe wherever the fuck you listen to this show. If you want to support us financially, head over to campbloodpodcast.com/donate. That'll take you right to our Patreon page. If you have a question or a theory, you can hit us up at campbloodpodcast.com/feedback or comment on the show notes at campbloodpodcast.com/54. A special thanks goes out to the Downriver Rat for our intro and outro music. You can check his stuff out at thedownriverrat.com. Until next time.